The murder of George Floyd has put a hyper-focus on police departments across our nation, with communities demanding transparency and accountability. For WDIY News, James Johnson reporting. The national spotlight focused recently on the Lehigh Valley and Allentown, where an incident involving an Allentown police officer restraining Edward Barrero outside the Sacred Heart Hospital was caught on a 23-second edited viral video. The release of that video inflamed already tense community relations, inspired new protests, yet ended with no charges and no disciplinary action for the officer involved. WDIY News reached out to Glenn Granitz Jr., Chief of Police for the City of Allentown. "We are grateful he was able to make time to provide insight into the current police policies, clarify the conclusions of the recent investigation, and what his next steps are in his community policing goals." Welcome, Chief Granitz.
Hello, James, and thank you for having me. I greatly appreciate the opportunity.
What drove your interest in law enforcement to begin with?
Thank you for asking that. I grew up in town here, as many people know, with my mom and dad. And pretty much on the day I was born, my father graduated the Allentown Police Academy. And then a few years later, he had a canine, a German Shepherd named Fritz. And obviously, as he worked his way up the ranks, it just became pretty clear that that's what I wanted to do as well.
Well, how has law enforcement changed since you first started as a rookie to your current position as Chief of Police of Allentown?
I'll tell you, if I was going to say that I thought when I started here that I'd end up as the Chief of Police, I never would have thought that that was a possibility. And because when I came on, and in terms of patrolling, a solid part of my career was investigations, particularly violent crime and homicides. And I absolutely really, really enjoyed that part of the job, and I was very much into it. And then there was aside from my own maturing and education, having children of my own, and then seeing some of the effects of violent crime on children made me understand that there was a different way of looking at law enforcement from a community perspective and trying to resolve problems if possible before they happen. Policing is and will always be reactionary, obviously, but there needed to come a point in my career where I needed to look at things differently for the hopes that there would be more of a prevention piece to this puzzle.
What was your first guttural reaction to the viral 23-second video?
When I first saw it, I was concerned because obviously I was looking at a brief clip on my phone, and I was also very concerned for the city as a whole because of what our country has experienced. I know that seeing something like that in conjunction with what many people in our community have felt in the wake of the George Floyd incident, I knew put our city and, of course, our department at a loss, if you will.
Why is it important that the 9-minute, 30-second video was found, reviewed, and released?
It's very important that that video came out, and we worked very closely with different entities to make sure that came out within about 48 hours, which in criminal justice, the world of criminal justice, is quite frankly close to lightning speed. And I know that's frustrating for people, but I think it's important to note that we're working as fast as we can without sacrificing the integrity of the investigation. But that video, the over 9-minute surveillance video, is a static viewpoint. It shows the entirety of the situation. And I understand that there may be some other views that people might want to see, but it also gives a unique perspective to what people are talking about in the country right now. And here we are outside of a large institution, you know, a well-known hospital in the area. And still, there's no other entities to kind of help this gentleman other than the police officers. There's other people driving by. There's a situation or two where he almost gets struck by a vehicle, which, of course, nobody would want to see. And I think that 9.5-minute video, I think, to people who are willing to view it from an objective standpoint, showed that there was more to the story than that small edited clip that had gone around social media.
With all the magnified scrutiny, as you mentioned, of police practices in this national moment of systemic racism, social injustice, and police brutality, was that the best trained decision for that officer to make and execute?
In the circumstances that the officers had and the medical staff that ended up being there with them, I mean, from a policing standpoint, I don't think it gets much better, if you will, for lack of a better word, than being able to, you know, have to have a type of use of force incident in conjunction with medical personnel, including a physician, watching what you're doing to ensure the overall well-being of the party. We're encountering a number of factors right now. As everyone knows, COVID-19, I mean, I can attest that I think the last thing the officers wanted to do was to approach this male who's clearly ill, you know, for whatever reasons, as the investigation will play out. But no one in this country right now, police officer or not, wants to approach someone or get close to someone that is sick. I'm in that boat. I know that that was not their case. They exhibited distance, which you see in that video, which is something that people have asked us for. They attempted de-escalation and direction into the emergency room. But honestly, James, there becomes a point where if that situation were to go on and that man were to walk into the street and get hit by a car, we would be just as vilified by that same video.
What is your position on the proposed resolution mandating body cams, removing exceptions for chokeholds, banning no-knock warrants, and requiring officer intervention for excessive force incidents?
I'll tell you, James, there's some misnomers in that resolution, and some of it, the things that you actually just talk about, a lot of things that point to the eight that can't wait, are things that we've already supplied to the members of our city council in an executive session. You know, as police officers in here in the city of Allentown, we have chosen to release our use of force policy online. It's available on our website. And there's some policies and procedures that I think need to be seen by the public, but there's other things that cannot due to a number of tactical concerns or officer safety issues. Those things have been shared. So the city of Allentown is the largest city in Pennsylvania that has fully deployed body cameras on their patrol officers. And that's been the way for over 5 years now. We're actually on our second federal grant. So much so that the Department of Justice adopted our policy for use with their grant for agencies of similar size. Furthermore, the duty to intervene in events of excessive force, banning chokeholds, are all things that are in our policy. And the no-knock warrants is something that I don't generally speak to as tactics, but I can tell you that it is not a common practice of any kind here in the city of Allentown or in the state of Pennsylvania, and is actually guided by rules of criminal procedure and not here at the level. And that's already been explained to our city council members.
Does the APD have the community relations, mental health, and social service training and resources, or should funding be reallocated to better equip agencies or community initiatives to address issues and provide solutions?
That's a really good question, and I think an area where there's probably a lot of common ground between police and the notion of defund the police. I think it is fair to say that our officers have been taxed to the limit. You'll often hear me say you can only be good at so many things, and I believe that wholeheartedly. So I think there is room for that. I will say that the coronavirus pandemic situation that we have all faced here across the country has really shown, though, that at the end of the day, there was beginning in March, we're some of the only people on the street, us paramedics and firefighters, all of the social services and nonprofits were working from home or asking us to put someone on the phone with them. And it really taxed us even more than we've already been. So I think that is a good question. Here at Allentown, we have positions devoted to a crisis intervention specialist. That is a non-police officer. It is a counselor, healthcare worker that works hand in hand with our patrol officers to de-escalate situations and to prevent us from going back to the same residence or dealing with the same person time after time without intervention. And we also have two full-time drug and alcohol counselors who are not police officers. They are assigned to our patrol division as well, and they are able to work with us to mitigate and to get people the help they need, hopefully to avoid having to end up in an arrest.
Explain how your department arrived at the conclusion and really the process of an internal use of force investigation, and did DA Martin's determination affect it at all?
The investigations into these incidents are always separate but equal. I would like to start off by saying we set a goal of transparency at the outset of this Saturday night when I arrived back in town as the incident was unfolding. Normally, in the past, we have not referred incidents like that to an outside agency for review. And I felt that that was very important in this case, not only due to the attention, but due to our efforts at being transparent and our efforts at communicating to the residents of Allentown that we are willing to withstand a separate review. And Mr. Martin's office is the legal step here outside of the Allentown Police Department. He has his own agency with detectives, and they did investigate thoroughly and review this case. Obviously, you saw District Attorney Martin's findings, and then you saw mine, and both of us came to a very similar conclusion.
Finally, Chief Granitz, share with our listeners how the Allentown Police Department, under your leadership and the communities at large that you serve, will move forward from this moment.
Oh, that's a good question, James, and I think a very important one. I think from here we need to keep building upon what we're doing, and that is that, you know, when I was selected to be chief last year at the end of the summer, beginning of the fall, we were coming off probably the most violent summer we have seen in recent memory in terms of non-fatal shootings. I know that seems like a lifetime ago, but our city was rocked with that last summer. And I can't give enough credit here to the community and also to the men and women of APD, because looking at our mid-year statistics, crime in the city of Allentown is down. And it's down particularly in the area of violent crimes, particularly the area of nonviolent shooting, on trending down at greater than 40%. And that is an anomaly compared now to other major urban cities that you're seeing. I'm assuming your listeners and yourself are no stranger to what's going on in other large cities across the country who are not enjoying that. So that was the focus of the first few months, of course, recruiting a diverse workforce, recruiting people from Allentown and wanting to reflect the community that we serve. And I'm proud to say that in my first try at that, which was a big part of my first 6 months here, we've recruited a class of potential candidates that is the most diverse ever in terms of people of color, in terms of women, and most importantly, and the one that hits close home, people from Allentown, which I think is very important to be able to relate to the city here. I think you can expect from me, or I should say I know you can expect from me, I'm big on higher education, as you know, my background, working with a local college university here that will help us get some data-driven results as we move into the area of community policing that people are asking for. We're going to have a town hall, we're going to have a survey available online, and we're going to have ways for all parts of the community to communicate with us what they would like to see from the Allentown Police Department. In terms of a number of things, but most importantly in terms of community policing and what type of relationship they're looking for us to bring to the table.
Let me thank Chief Glenn Granitz Jr. of the Allentown Police Department for making time for WDIY Lehigh Valley Public Radio.
Thank you very much for having me.
For WDIY News, I'm James Johnson.